Hello and welcome to the Mangalog podcast. This is a weekly 15 to 30 minute spoiler-free manga podcast where I introduce a new manga series each week and I give a little bit of background information, some story details, and some basic impressions. I try not to go super deep into the series. I just want to provide you with enough to pique your interest and kind of allow you to determine if, you know, the series I'm covering is something you'd be willing to check out. And the ultimate goal is that you find maybe your new favorite series that you wouldn't have otherwise found or checked out on your own. This podcast focuses on series that are both legally available in English and can be accessed both digitally and physically. And my philosophy behind that is just to make this as accessible as possible so that if you have a specific preference for the format that you like to read your manga in, you don't feel left out because for some reason I'm covering a manga that's not available through both memes. So there was an exception to this. I did do an episode on Hell's Paradise, Jigoku Raku. The reason why I covered that was because it's like about as accessible as it can get. It was free on the Manga Plus app in its entirety, and that app is available worldwide for the most part, so that was an exception. But typically it's manga that have already been compiled into volumes. The chapters have been compiled and have been released both physically and digitally. My name is John. I'm the sole host of the podcast. It's a manga monologue or manga log. I spelled log the other way, like an audio log, just in case somebody has any questions about the, I guess, history of that title. But like an audio log, but also it's a monologue because it's just me, sort of. Normally around this time, I would give like I would highlight some community questions or comments, whether it's directed towards me or the series that I'm covering this week. But I haven't gotten any, impressions or anything from the community, which is okay. I would typically also do shout outs on social media, but because my last episode released like literally the other day, because I was behind on my release schedule because I was sick, I didn't get any like new followers on Twitter or anything. Actually, that's not true. I think I did get one, but I didn't write it down. So I will highlight you the next episode. You know who you are, I think. apologies for that. Man, my watch is going off. So hopefully you didn't hear those alerts in the background. But yeah, and just to kind of like prime you guys in case you like, well, he's asking us to reach out, but then, you know, what exactly does he want from the community? Just really anything. Like if you have general questions for me, the host, or, you know, comments for me, or just comments or questions about the series I'm covering. And this could be in the form of like recommendations if you want to see something new on the show, or maybe even a specific series you would like to see me try out. I would be more than willing to highlight that for you. If you have some impressions on a series I've covered in the past, like in my past episodes, I know I get a lot of plays on like my earlier episodes. If you guys are listening to those and you have something you would like to share, maybe a correction even, please feel free to shoot me something on Twitter or in my email. It's all in the description. I'd be happy to, put that during this section of the show. Maybe especially corrections. I don't want to like put any misinformation out there. Or if you have any suggestions for like improvements overall, or just like segment ideas too, to make this more, I guess, engaging or, more interesting to listen to. And if you have any criticisms, I'm totally open to those. I will not get my feelings hurt, trust me. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, if you have some words of encouragement, I'll always accept those as well. So this episode, this is episode 21, by the way, if you haven't read the episode title. It's on a series called 2 Year Eternity. It's written and illustrated by Yoshitoki Oima. And she's a pretty young mangaka. She's really only known, and I say only, but this is actually a really big series, A Silent Voice. It's if you're not familiar, but the name might ring a bell for you. It's a series about I believe it's two middle schoolers that eventually go to high school. Into high school, time skips, but it's about a kid who was a bully to this deaf girl in his class. She was a deaf transfer student, and if you know anything about Japan and like where they stand on like mental health or physical disabilities, they're not exactly up to speed when it comes to that stuff. So there's a lot of like what's the word? Not persecution. a lot of, God, the word's not coming to me, but they don't treat it with the most deft hand, when it comes to that kind of stuff. So this is about like a, you know, this deaf girl, and she's being bullied, and, as after the time skip, it's not really a spoiler. This is kind of like the whole conceit of the show. The main character, the boy, is seeking redemption for the, you know, just the horrendous things he did as a child to this girl. And they end up in the same school again, and it kind of just takes off from there. It was a really just powerful, like, emotional, just like, and when I say emotional, like, the, I watched the movie and it just made me, I bawled my eyes out several times. I'm such a big, like, sensitive baby when it comes to stuff like this. And, yeah, I cried my heart out. I was all alone in my room and just like was sobbing. But yeah, it's a really, really good, series, The Silent Voice. I actually didn't read the manga. I watched the movie, and that might sound like blasphemy to some people, but I thought the movie adaptation was so well done. And in fact, I usually do this at the end of the episode, but I'm just going to shout it out now for Mike, my weekly recommendation. I encourage you to either check out the manga or watch the movie for Silent Voice. Actually, maybe not watch the movie, because I don't think that's available legally yet. I know it's available for pre-order through iTunes, which I'm definitely going to buy, because I watched it at a time when I didn't have a job, and I did it through, like, illicit means, which I don't encourage. But now that I have a job, I'm being good about paying for everything, like, you know, a normal person. So, yeah, so, but it is available for pre-order. But, yeah, the manga series is available in its entirety. I think it's, like, 7 volumes or something like that, so it's actually rather short. Yeah, I encourage you to check that out. But that was, you know, it's adjacent to this, but this episode is on To Your Eternity, which is... Yoshitoki, her follow-up, like her successor to A Silent Voice. It's published by Kodansha in English. It runs in Weekly Shonen Magazine, not Weekly Shonen Jump. It's a different shonen magazine. It runs alongside some heavy hitters like Seven Deadly Sins and Hajime no Ippo. Yes, Hajime no Ippo is still going. It's kind of crazy. It's sounds like it's a really old series, but it's still going. There's also, it also runs alongside Eden Zero, which is a series that I've actually covered on this podcast, one of my earlier episodes. To be honest, I did end up dropping Eden Zero because I just got really bored with it, or just like tired with it. So, but I encourage you to check out that episode and maybe check out the series. It's being simul-published. I would say check out the Crunchyroll app, manga app, but they haven't updated it in over a year. And I'm kind of pissed about that, and it's a sore subject for me, so I'm just going to move on, but I do not recommend the Crunchyroll manga app at all. But you can check it up through their website, their manga website, if you're a premium member, or you can just buy the volume, the compiled volumes. I actually recommend doing that instead. I think there's 2 out right now. Yeah, so I did cover Eden Zero on the podcast, and it's running alongside that, and likewise, Hiromashima's other manga series, Fairy Tail, which ended in that magazine, but that was also in that magazine. And it's been publishing since, I'm like all over the place. To Your Eternity has been publishing since the end of 2016. I think it was like November or something like that. It's considered a drama and a supernatural. I have to correct myself. Last week I said it was a fantasy. It kind of is. It doesn't take place in modern day Japan or anything like that, or like modern day at all. And I'll get into that later when I talk about it more. Oh, I am talking about it, but like when I talk about the story more. There are 8 volumes out in English. Volume 9 actually releases this April. And there are a total of 96 chapters out. It's about 10 chapters a volume, except for like the first volume. I think it's like 4 chapters, but they're really long. I don't know. I gotta look at that again. I was looking at Wikipedia. The whole page was outdated. It was very confusing. But yeah. So there's only a few chapters that haven't been compiled into a volume, but like it's pretty up to date when it comes to like volume releases. But it's being simul published again through the Crunchyroll manga app, which I do not recommend. Or you can check it out through Comixology. I think they charge like per chapter. It's like $1 or $2. So now on to the series. So I blazed through a lot of this morning because it was so freaking good. So I'm trying to like not add too much of my like personal feelings about the series, because I want you guys to decide for yourself, but like I might just gush the entire episode. This was amazing. Okay, so it's it starts off like the first page, literally the first page. I know I say like spoiler free, but to get like the at least the minor like conceptual, you know, the concept of the manga, I have to give a little bit of details. And I'm not talking like, you know, because I don't want to rag on other people, but some people say, well, it's impossible to talk about this series without giving some spoilers, like major spoilers, you know, like it's not always, you can kind of find creative ways around it. As a manga introduction podcast, I want to make sure I'm not like spoiling everything for you. So anyways, that side rant aside, anyways, English. The story starts off first page. It's like some glowing orb thing. It's actually this really, it looks like it was like sketched like from a human hand. You see this page of this orb, and then it's like falling from the sky or something and lands onto Earth. And I guess inside the orb was some supernatural immortal being that it starts off taking on the form of like inanimate objects like rocks. and eventually it takes on the form of a wolf, and that's where the story starts, really, is with the wolf. You see it right on the cover of the first Tankobon volume. This thing is, yeah, it's like an immortal being. This is our main character, by the way, which already is like really strange. It's an immortal being. It doesn't talk. It can take on various forms. I think the thing either has to be inanimate or dead for it to take it over. So this wolf was actually dead, and this being took over the wolf, not took over the body and reanimated it. It's more like it copied the body, and it's weird. We start off like narration from what I guess is like a deity like being, like I don't know if it's God or what, but I forget what he's talking about or it's talking about, but it's really not that important. I'm sure it's going to be, but like you get little pieces of narration throughout the, you know, the volumes, but it's the deity being is kind of like a non-factor, at least as far as I've gotten. So it takes on the form of this wolf, and this wolf joins up with this boy in this like snowy wasteland. And I'm trying to, now I actually am like kind of eating my words a little bit, because I'm trying to see where I should go from here. Eventually, oh god, this is tough. Okay, well, there are some foreshadowing, not foreshadowing. Basically, this wolf doesn't end up as a wolf the entire time. It takes on the form of a human. It travels beyond this snowy wasteland, and there are other environments that we're introduced to. But really, I guess, as far as I've gotten, it doesn't seem like there's a goal. I think the being's goal is to just gather as much stimuli as possible, learn about the world. As far as I know, I don't know if this is like this deity's like goal is to get this thing to gather intel for it or something. But you follow this immortal being. It's learning about the world. It's developing relationships with other people and so on. And you get introduced to other characters. I thought the whole manga was going to be like this boy and this wolf in this wasteland. I had no idea what to expect. I kind of wanted to keep you guys a little bit in the dark about that, but honestly, like, I want to be able to talk about the series a little bit. So, and there are other characters at play. I mean, that's no spoiler, really. It'd be kind of weird to have a series of just like two characters throughout the entire thing. Well, never mind. Not really. Okay. Anyways. I guess I'm just going to talk about the good aspects of this, because that was like the basic rundown. So you have this immortal-like being that can take on different forms. It has like regenerative abilities. So like if it gets injured, or even if it dies, it will just come right back to life again, like almost, not almost immediately, but pretty much. And it'll if it gets wounded without being killed, it'll just regenerate those wounds. It's like freaking Wolverine or Deadpool or something. It's really, really neat. Some of the aspects that really just stuck out to me with this series is the art. Like, the art, okay, it's fantastic. Okay, so I did mention, like, there are, like, these snowy, you know, you start off in the snowy wasteland. And even, like, you know, snow is, like, it seems like an easy, like, cop-out, you know, way to, like, just, like, skimp on the backgrounds and stuff, because it's just mostly white. But, like, even with that as, like, your backdrop, it still was, like, just amazing, the stuff that she did with the snowy backgrounds, and like and maybe not as much detail in the, obviously, the snow and the, like, the mountainous areas, but like she pours the same or like even more detail into the the character, the wolf, like just the wolf, looking at the wolf, like a lot of mangaka, I feel like they have trouble portraying animals. And I feel like she does an awesome job with this wolf and just like the level of detail in the fur. And the boy also has fur on his clothing, because he's obviously living in, you know, this winter, you know, this frozen wasteland. So he has like all this fur all over his like, I guess like his torso, and then he has it on his legs, but like and he has like scuffs and stuff on his like feet, and like I don't want to explain it, but like there's a lot of like extra detail poured into the clothing, like the texturing, I guess. Like I'm not like some art scholar, so I'm trying to describe this. It's hard in a auditory medium, but I'm doing the best I can. You'll just have to like kind of look at it to see what I'm talking about. But yeah, like the details on the animals, like the wolf, spoiler alert, is not the only animal you're gonna see in the manga. I don't think that's a spoiler, but and then of course the human clothing, obviously with the other human characters you're introduced to. They're simple designs, but like they're very detailed designs. I think the boy has the most level of detail to him when it comes to like his clothing. I just imagine he must be a pain to draw every single time. Yeah, it's not even just with just like the static imagery of like the boy and the wolf and other characters in the backgrounds, but like the action. And I didn't expect action from the series, but there is action. It's like surprisingly fluid and just like impactful. Like when somebody's body is slammed on the ground, you feel it. When somebody's getting flown through the air, you get these crazy, like twisty, creative, like camera angles. You get some like different perspective. Like sometimes it's POV, sometimes it's like from the perspective of the thing launching the other thing. I'm trying to be vague. And like as the wolf like just like jumping through the air and biting biting another beast or whatever. Like it's just crazy how like intense it gets. It's crazy. I didn't think this was gonna be like an action manga. I mean, it's running in a shonen magazine, but like I just wasn't expecting. I expected something more like slow and contemplative, but you get that. But then you also get these awesome scenes of action, and there's like and you get like a full range. But like her art is just like you get like a full range of it. So like not only is there the action, and then like the like slow like contemplative moments with like these beautiful close-ups and so on and so forth. But then you also get like this, because again, this being could regenerate, this being can come back from the dead. So like you get this crazy like body horror, and I'm like, wow, this is like Junji Ito level stuff right here. You know, it's like kind of crazy. So you like get see the people, you know, you see this thing getting reincarnated. You just see people, like other characters getting wrecked, just like completely wrecked, and it's like whoa, it kind of like it gets like that visceral reaction out of you, and it's like what an exciting action scene should do, you know? Yeah, but it's like this being, it's crazy to watch like its body contort and get like cut and bitten and sliced, and it's just like surprisingly a little more gory than I thought it was gonna be too, which is cool. Unless you're not into that stuff. So yeah, I guess kind of a warning. It doesn't get, I shouldn't say that. It does get a little gory. I was gonna say it doesn't get crazy gory, but it does. but even just outside the action, just like the I think what makes the action so successful is that the panel to panel transitions, it feels like you're flipping through like a flip note. Like if you ever seen like how a manga, I mean not a manga, an anime is made, like you have like the keyframes, and then which are like how like if a character is about to throw a ball, you have like the starting motion of them throwing the ball and the ending motion of them throwing the ball. But then you have people that are animating the bits of animation in between, like the drawings in between, to have that arm fluidly transition from, you know, being cocked to throw the ball and then through its full extension. So mangaka well, they get that's they're basically like drawing keyframes. So sometimes it's hard to follow action because you get lost. Like a character or something will jump from one action to another, and you just like how did they get to that point? Some mangaka aren't very good at like filling in the blanks, or like drawing it in a way where you can like fluidly fill in the blanks on your own, like without much effort. Some mangaka are really good at that, like Eiichiro Oda with One Piece. Even like reading Boruto, I think I complimented it on its action because it was just really, really like dynamic. Like the choreography for the fights were really cool. Like in this case, you get the same thing. It's like the panel to panel transitions. Like I can see realistically how, you know, how a character got from one point to another. Like that's what makes the action really exciting and impactful for me, is just like being able to like connect it, like see those hits connect in a way that feels satisfying, and not in a way that like the character look like they teleported. So that's what I love. And it's not even just the action that accomplishes this, but it's like the just like character expressing character emotion. Like later on you meet this little girl character, and like you see, when you see her face transition from one emotion to the other, it feels natural, it feels fluid, it just like feels, it looks great, it looks really, really good. And that brings out a lot of emotion from me, the reader. Like there are points in the story where I was laughing, there was points where I was like about to cry. Like it reminds me of Mushishi, where like it's just an emotional roller coaster. This mangaka, my God, I forgot her name. I feel really bad. Yoshitoki Oima, she's really good at making you feel a variety of emotions. And I should have expected this after having watched A Silent Voice, because that brought me on, you know, an emotional trip too. But I don't know, I just wasn't expecting, because I haven't read her manga. So like, am I going to get the same feeling? And sure enough, I definitely am. I brought this child character, this girl that you you meet later. And one thing I really like about her is that she's a child character that actually behaves and talks like a child would. A lot of the time in manga and anime, you get children, and this is no fault to like series like The Promised Neverland. I mean, they've already established those children, at least the main characters, as geniuses. So they're going to act a little more mature, and they're going to be smarter than you expect them to be. And that's like for purposes of the plot. But there's just some series where like the children is just like, okay, that child is way too perceptive for their age. I got this feeling a lot in this anime called Erased, and I also read the manga for that, where some of the children in this dude's class just did not, like, they should not be able to make those types of connections at the age that they were in. They were in elementary school, and they just didn't behave like children to me. But I did like that series, by the way. And then you have, like, say, anime like Sweetness and Lightning, where the child there, Tsumugi, I think her name is, oh, she's so adorable. She behaved like a child, I believe, would behave in real life. And I say would believe as if I've never interacted with a child in real life before. But yes, how a child would behave in real life. And you get the same feeling here. You get like that sense of like ignorance about the world, you know, about certain things like death and, you know, being an adult and stuff like that. And then you get that sense of like innocence, and then a little bit of that mischief. Like, again, I said this, the series kind of brought me on an emotional roller coaster. There was times where the series is not even marked as a comedy, but it got a few genuine laughs out of me. And I just love how it didn't feel forced. They weren't trying to go for like a gag. She wasn't trying to go for like a, she wasn't trying to like shove humor in your face. You know, it's just like these little moments with the child that it just made me like genuinely laugh out loud. And I love when manga does that for me. So yeah, again, like if you enjoyed Mushishi, if you happen to follow along with me on that episode, or if you've already read it in the past or watched the anime, I think you'll really like To Your Eternity. But yeah, I just blazed through these chapters. It was just amazing. I think I've said my piece. I really, really just like talked this up. If you're not convinced by that, I encourage you to check out the first volume. It's not going to hurt. And this is pretty accessible. Again, I think if you do read through the Crunchyroll manga, I know it's like they have like the last 10 chapters available. I don't know if they have like maybe the first one available for free. You can check. Actually, Kodansha, if you go to their website, they do have, I think, the first chapter available for free. And the first chapter is pretty long. It's like 40-something pages, I believe, or longer. Yeah, so if you just want to check that chapter, I definitely encourage you to go to the Kodansha website and check it out if you don't want to commit to buying a volume. Yeah, I think that was it, guys. I'm actually really happy I was able to release this on Friday, considering I released the other episode so late. I wish I could have read more of this manga, but like I think I would have just been gushing the same way I'm doing now, just like to a more extreme level. Next week, the next Friday, the episode is going to be on Yona of the Dawn. So this is me kind of going out of my way to make sure I'm, you know, covering variety of demographics. So this is considered a shoujo manga. And then that's marked at like teenage girls. But I've definitely enjoyed some shoujo in the past, like, or in high school host club, I think I mentioned last episode. I believe that's a shoujo. I hope that's a shoujo. I'll be putting my foot in my mouth. And like when I was younger, like I've read manga, a couple of like volumes of manga that I haven't really like kept track of, like within my own like manga tracking website. Like I use my anime list a lot. when I was younger and I had a library accessible to me, I read like Fruits Basket, which I'm pretty sure is a shoujo. And what was that other one I read? It had something to do with vampires. I can't remember. So I read a few shoujo, but I haven't gone back to it in a while. And it's not something that I actively search for. But Yona of the Dawn seems pretty like well regarded. That's written and illustrated by Kusanagi Mizuo. I think I pronounced that right. Mizuo. I'm gonna check out as many volumes as I can before next Friday, as long as nothing crazy befalls me. And I'll make sure I'll catch up in my shoutouts. Just a reminder, and I'm trying to be good about not doing this every episode, because you know sometimes if I establish like this rigmarole at the beginning and end of an episode every episode, I you know, at least me as a listener, I know I listen to a lot of podcasts, so I kind of tune that stuff out a lot, like when they're plugging their Patreons and plugging their, you know, so on and so forth. Like sometimes I do tune that out, so I don't want to get like redundant. But every once in a while I feel like it's good to just like give a reminder. So all like the contact info, it's really simple. It's my Twitter and my email. It's in the description of every episode. Just in the form of whatever way you feel would add to the podcast, whether it's recommendations, impressions, suggestions for improvements or segment ideas, criticisms or words of encouragement, I will take it all. That's it for this episode. Thank you guys for listening. I really appreciate it. And catch you guys next week.